form, which is very exciting.
Recording is on.
And today we are joined by Assie, who is from Stop 5G in Merton. He has become a campaigner against 5G. He likes technology and he did work in the IT industry. But when he looked into 5G, he discovered it wasn't quite what he thought it was at first. And he was really looking into the surveillance and the privacy side of things. And then he also discovered that there were health issues and that there was actually a preponderance of evidence to show that, 5G has harmful effects on health. So welcome, Assie.
Thank you.
And we're also with Councillor Nicholas Martin from Wokingham in Berkshire. He is a member of the Sun Party. And the Sun Party is a political party which is registered with the Electoral Commission. And so they are allowed to propagate information which maybe wouldn't be allowed to be propagated by other means. And Nicholas is working with his local council to stop the LED streetlights in his area. And that's the subject of this video. We are talking about the dangers of the LED streetlights. Over to you, Nicholas, if you would like.
Yes, I would hasten to add the council, which I'm a councillor of, doesn't actually have responsibility for the streetlights, so they can't make a decision on them. But I am in the process of talking to the council above us, which is the unitary authority, and I've had many discussions with them with regard to the nature of the streetlights. And what most people don't realize, even in the anti-5G world, is that these LED lights, which were pushed onto the local councils as a result of the famous climate emergency. Everybody will know Greta Thunberg says you must get out of your car and walk because otherwise you'll bring the world to an end. That climate emergency has forced the local councils, on the basis of saving energy, to install these LED lights in their relative constituencies. And those LED lights have two aspects. One is the light itself, which is 450 nanometers blue light, which has several disadvantages. One, it kills small insects and pollinators. Two, it causes macular degeneration, which is a form of blindness in human beings. And three, it contributes to prostate and breast cancer. That's just the light. But the other aspect is that the lighting unit contains antennae which pick up microwave radiation and collimate it into what is known as 5G signals. The definition of 5G being beamforming, which is collimation, and that comes out of a densified field created by many, many antennae because there are lots of streetlights. And that forms an array, and the phasing of the signal through the array creates beam waves, which is a form of urban radar, which is carcinogenic. And I'd like to pass over to Asif, who is very good at explaining exactly how the phasing creates the beam. And so if I can pass over to you, Asif.
Yes, hello, thanks. Yes, I think the terms beamforming are often, and collimation is confusing in that they think, is there a difference between the two? They're the same thing as far, it's like a laser pointer. If you think of that, and instead of a light being emitted, it's RFR. And what Nick mentioned as well is phased array. Phased means time intervals, a phase, and array means pattern, an organization. So typically we're seeing these phased array radar being put into streetlights. And if you think about it, streetlights are two parallel lines. It's a pattern. And phased array. So if how it works is how it creates a beam is that if you drop a pebble into a pond, if you drop one pebble, the ripples circulate and in all directions, and they just emit from that source pebble. So if you then imagine that to this pond you add one pebble, and then at a time interval or phase, you drop another pebble. So depending on the size of the pebbles and the that will create a different ripple, but also time. So if I drop the one pebble and then another pebble half a second later, it will have a different interference pattern. So one ripple and another ripple emerges, and they interfere, and the direction of the ripple goes in one direction, one particular direction, and it's stronger in that direction. So they cancel each other out in all the other directions, but then the ripple forms in one area, in one direction. And that's kind of beam forming where you can see it. And phase array in this application, 5G and all other Gs or all other radar systems, it could be 4G, you can have beam forming, any sort of RFR really. It uses the same principle. It is the same principle. So the reason why it's a different pattern as well with the streetlights is that you can drop a pebble in one area and then drop a pebble in another area. And again, the interference pattern changes, and you can drop many pebbles at the same time. And then that creates a densification signal, a more intense signal as well. So it can get quite complicated, how the patterns and the time intervals. It can get quite complicated, but it's not expensive to do now, because the digital signaling process, the chipsets now are so cheap, and they arrange how to do it, how to instantaneously create an intensity of a beam in a particular direction. And that's how automated cars that travel whiz by, how they can be then targeted by a particular directed beam. These directed beams can go through walls, and because they're more powerful, they're concentrated beams, just like a laser pointer. So they can go and through walls and hit an Internet of Things device, for instance, or many other things.
So, did you want to show that picture, Steve, of the waves coming into beam waves? It might be useful.
Right. Is this the document? Okay.
The collimation, the LED collimation document.
Right. Okay.
Whilst Asif is looking for that, as you've said, collimation just means beam forming, and you can see it in this diagram.
So is this the page you want me on?
Yes, absolutely. That's perfect. And you can see on the top one, Asif, an array like in the streetlights, and now the beam forming is created by the interference patterns.
Yes, this is it. Yeah. And it's people can do it people have done it in their garages. It's not an expensive thing. This technology is not new. It's old. Air traffic control uses it to pinpoint where planes are in the sky. But it hasn't been used in civilian contexts as such. It hasn't been used on our streets. These concentrated beams, we don't know how powerful they can get depending on the amount of streetlights and depending on the capacitors that are used in these technologies. A capacitor is, if you imagine these old cameras with the flashes that whir up over time and then suddenly emit a massive amount of light to create a flash. It's like a battery that stores up energy, and then it's released, unlike a normal battery, it's released in one go, all of it. And that's also something that has been remarked upon in streetlights that have these massive capacitors. Why, you know?
Absolutely. And the other thing on the document, as if the below the beamforming diagram, is a typical Telenza-style LED lighting ahead on a streetlight. I think this one actually comes from Camden, if I remember. Mm-hmm. And there's a bump on top of the streetlight. And that, if you scroll down on the on the page. I don't know whether you can do that.
Yeah.
You'll see this Telenza document. Telenza is a big streetlight supplier in the UK. And it might be difficult to read on the screen, but it says discreet, looks like a regular photo cell. So what that bump on top of the streetlight was designed to look like a photo cell, which is to turn the lights on and off. But actually inside that bump, although it's designed to look like a photo cell, actually it's the covering for an antenna, which picks up microwave signals and broadcasts them. And those antennae form the phased array produced by the arrangement, as you've said, of the streetlights in parallel lines either side of the road. And the next, scrolling down further, you can see a pool of radiation. And this thing, which is called beamforming point-to-point directional, shows how the beams are formed out of that densified field, and they're shot from transmitter to transmitter, and that is the nature of 5G. These very, as he called, laser-like beams of energy. And that's the fundamental difference between 2G, 3G, 4G, which are all radial waves coming out in circles, concentric circles, from the transmitter, whereas 5G is an energy beam with great intensity at the beginning as at the end of the beam. Whereas in 2G, 3G, 4G, the further you're away from the transmitter, the safer you are because the energy is less. Mm. With a collimated beam, as like this 5G, it doesn't make much difference whether you're near the beam start or near the beam end. It's a collimated beam of energy that is intense all the way along the beam.
So 5G is also, it's not just the frequency range, it's also the technology that's part of the specifications of 5G. The technology, I mean, 5G brings in the technology to collimate beam, to create beam-forming radiation. So it's a gamut of things, 5G. It's not just frequency, it's a gamut of different things that are
exactly
involved. Yeah,
exactly. And it can be at 2G, 3G, 4G frequencies, which are generally sub-gigahertz, and it can be the very high frequencies, like 60 gigahertz or millimeter wave lengths as well. So it's not, as you say, frequency dependent.
Yeah. And it's worth saying at this point, if we scroll up a bit to see the other diagram, that those two, the two at the bottom there, Asif, those two, that one, the densification of the microwave field, and the one below it are stills, which are taken from a promotional video by the company called Radwinjet, which is a telecoms company. And yeah, we have the full video of that if anyone would like to see it.
Yeah.
Maybe then when we put this up, I can put the link to the Radwinjet one under the video.
That would be
good.
And
then people can click it if they want to.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've talked about the health issues, or the intensity of the beams and how it could be, obviously, that it's quite powerful. So this hasn't really been discussed in any guidelines, really, or it's just been completely avoided as a topic by any of the health agencies. But there's also a privacy related concerns to this, aren't there? Because there's plenty of videos on YouTube about how phased arrays, and they're now being used, are being used to see through concrete walls in military applications. And in also now they're talking about it to use as safety in the home. If someone's fallen down, for instance, you can see that, and then alarm signals. So it's able to scan people and their movements within the home. It's like an X-ray in a way. And it's been, in a way, the marketing is quite jaunty of it, about it, in that it's, oh, X-rays, the X-ray superpower is real. And they just attach this widget to a phone, you know, which is phone size, in fact, and they're using the phased array technique to see behind walls. Yeah, by scanning.
Yes, I don't know whether you want to end the screen share as if not.
Oh, sure.
But I absolutely agree with what you say, Asif, because the street lines were sold by the manufacturers to the local authorities on two counts. One is the energy saving, and the other is what we call backhauling, which is, as you say, the scanning aspect, mm-hmm. whereby the idea was that when you buy a can of beer and you take it out of the fridge and then drink it and put the can in the dustbin, then the idea was that the scanning would be done through the streetlights and they would be able to pick up the barcode of the one going into the dustbin and then send you an advertisement for a new can of beer. And the idea was that the councils would generate a revenue stream from what's called the backhauling, which is the scanning of the data. I have a feeling that was never came about. It was just, proposed to them as a potential revenue stream. Mm-hmm. The other crazy thing about all this is that the amount of energy for the data servers, for all this 5G, is set to exceed the amount of energy used by the aviation sector. And so the idea of all this LED streetlight connected to 5G smart city rollout being energy saving is complete illusion. And if by 2025, I think the forecast is, it's going to be so much energy generated, used by these data centers to keep the whole thing going, as I say, that it'll exceed the amount of energy used by the aviation sector.
And yeah, they're very good points. And did you have something else that you wanted to share with us, Asif?
Well, I just wanted to say that you can always go on YouTube YouTube really, that's where they are, but just type in phased array, building a phased array, and you'll get good descriptions. There's one particular person, if you want an introduction to the topic, he's a student who was discussing his project. Hmm. There is one person, let me have a look if I can bring him up. Yes, Mark Hickel, phased array antennas. If you type that in, you'll get a great description, a visual description, where he talks about, say, drops falling on a pond and how it works. So you get a visual, actually see it in action. And so I'd recommend that. And it's a very
nice way. How do you spell his name?
Good question. Yeah, Mark Hickle.
Thank you. And it's phased array. What was that?
And phased array antennas.
Yeah, because it's useful. You know, this we would like to say to our viewers that this is just an introduction. There's it's a complicated subject, and there is a lot of information out there, and a lot of the information is quite confusing. And it's a question of we would like to give people the facts on this, and it's worth also mentioning that there are parties out there that don't want people to get to have this information. And so we're trying to redress the balance, and there's been a lot of censorship, which is why we're using a platform which is uncensored and independent to video.
Absolutely. One thing I would say, that's an extremely good point, Catherine. It's very important that public do know what's going on, because this phased array urban radar up and down the whole of the UK, and by the way, it's a global thing, is a form of radar, and radar is a known carcinogen. Right. It's known in all the people who use it, you know, the military throughout the world and the flight companies. You can't expose people to radar for too long because they get cancer. So the issue is that if your house, your bedroom is next door to a streetlight, you can't rotate your house. And it's very important that we get this structure taken down, because all three of us are not, I'm sure any sane person is not in favor of the blue light giving you a form of blindness, killing small insects and pollinators, which are vital for the food chain, and contributing to breast and prostate cancer. That's just the light. Then you've got the 5G element through phased array radar causing cancer on top of all that willy-nilly, irrespective of the light. Yeah. So it is not a good idea to have these lines up and down the country. So it's intelligent to get them taken down, which is why Save Us Now, this political party, was formed. And many in the councils really don't know.
No.
And it's a question of educating them. And yeah, then they'll be as horrified as we.
Yes, I've discussed streetlights with my council regarding blue light spectrum being used and all these things. And they really don't know. In fact, they think there's no health and issue, health and safety issues are not applicable. So even when given the information, I think it's hard for them to connect with it, hard to connect with information. Because so much of it is, it seems so unreasonable, like you're saying, that why are they using that particular spectrum of light in the LEDs? Why are they not putting diffusers on there? Basic things. And it's not as if it's not known. It's been known for a long time, but that's what's confusing for the people working council, because they're not all scientists. They're being told this is the most efficient way of lighting the streets. They're thinking of energy costs, but they can't put the two together, where there's this backhauling and data streaming and collection of data. Privacy issues. They think in one way, and then they can't connect the issues, and they just feel that surely this can't be the case, that we're rolling out these very smart, well-marketed products. Surely they're not going to be creating macular degeneration and pollinators being harmed, and everything to do with many other things, sleep patterns. It seems almost too much for them to believe, and then they can't connect the issues either. Yeah,
absolutely. And many people in these councils are not nasty people. They're very sincere people trying to do their best. It's just that it's a bit similar to asbestos and smoking. I've seen pictures, I don't know whether you have, of doctors in hospitals encouraging people to have a cigarette before their operation, to smoke it in the hospital before their... The smoking wasn't stopped by the government. It was stopped by awkward people like us three saying to the government, this is not on anymore. And then eventually the government cottoned on. Now the government wouldn't be seen dead having a doctor smoking in a hospital, encouraging his patient to smoke before they go for an operation. And it was exactly the same with asbestos. Asbestos wasn't stopped by the government initially. It was stopped by people like us three bringing attention to the government, the nature of asbestos. And now the government understand it and they won't allow it. So we have to do exactly the same thing with 5G.
Yeah,
and that's
right.
Why we're doing what we do.
Absolutely. And I think what people also, the councillors, can do with looking at just following the money. The telcos have phenomenal amounts of money to spend on marketing, and they have done a very, very good, slick marketing job on this, of talking to people about the benefits, faster download speeds, which, of course, everyone's glued to their phones nowadays, particularly the young people.
Well, the same's happening with the phase array, with them marketing it as a safety tool, whether, you know, if there's an elderly person at home tripping from the shower and... you'll know it's just narrowing your focus of what it does. You know, it's phasing array of your understanding of the topic and how dangerous.
That's a very good way of putting it.
That's right. So I don't know if we want to finish off to keep the video. We're at nearly half an hour, just to keep it an accessible time.
Right.
That's great.
Have you got some concluding comments, Nicholas?
Well, I just like to say that I think it's very important that we make progress, and I think we are, because more and more people are beginning to understand it. And it's absolutely vital, because anybody who is a sensitive, feeling person doesn't want to see his fellow human beings going blind, getting cancer, and generally being affected in an adverse way by this technology. And none of us are against technology. We're not Luddites wanting to go back into caves with, like Barney Rubble in the Flintstones. We are just in favor of safe technology, and we can have perfectly safe technology and get all the benefits of the internet and so on without killing ourselves or other people.
Yes, this is a particularly energy-hungry technology, a particularly expensive technology, and a particularly privacy invading technology. Mm-hmm. There's so many other technologies that actually are safer, faster, more reliable and more secure. That's available. It's a very strange thing that we're en masse going this way. And if you look at government papers on this, the same diagrams, the exact same wordings across the world regarding 5G and its rollout. It's very strange. And even if you go to conferences in the past when technology companies were rolling it out, they were using the same government diagrams, which lead to what the benefits of 5G are and what it leads to smart cities and the components of that were exactly the same across all countries.
Yes,
that's a very interesting point. So thank you so much, Asi, for joining us. Yeah. Hopefully you'll come back for some more videos.
Sure.
And thank you, Nicholas, as ever, for your continued search for the truth. Yeah, very good. And more work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Right. We can ask him to stop it at 32:25. That is the end of it. Because I don't know how to stop. It's a bit like a train with a driver who can't find the lever to stop it. I can tell the shrine that we finished at 32:25.
Do we go back to that screen?
Okay. Yeah. And what I'm doing is
the video icon is.
Yes.
And maybe down there you can press stop recording.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that.
Yes. Yeah, good point.
Or is it as simple as pressing the three dots and the bottom?
Yeah, the three dots, I think. Stop recording.
Yeah, the three dots, but it doesn't. Oh, yes, stop recording. You're quite right. You're a smart lady, Catherine.